Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
We're going to start today in Matthew chapter 28. Go ahead and turn there. I'm not going to get there for a few minutes. So one of the things that I've been thinking about this week, there's this song. We almost sung it this morning. We didn't sing it this morning. But this is my opinion. I'm giving you an opinion right now. Okay, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. It usually has a couple holes in it. Opinion. So I just want to clarify, this is an opinion. Years ago, we sang a song, and this song, I'm not going to sing it, but it was called Come Away. And the lyrics were, come away with me, come away with me. It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. It's going to be full of me. You guys like this song. I like this song. I like singing this song. So I'm not exactly sure if we realize what we're being invited into when we say come away. Was it come away to a rural part of India, live in a cow dung hut, and reach the people in India? Was it, which I've done, just wanted to throw that in. And two things from the cow dung hut. One is I was real careful to keep my sleeping bag zipped even though it was hot because you're sleeping on cow dung, right? But I woke up with my sleeping bag open with my face on the ground. And the other thing was as we were going to sleep, they brought this dog and they tied it in the entranceway. And we're like, oh, cool, a dog. And they're like, no, it's for the cobras. And we're like, what do you mean it's for the cobras? The dog will kill the cobras? And they're like, no, the cobra will bite the dog and not you. And we're like, wow. More power to you. That's how you have to survive where you live. No, they liked the dogs. They took care of the dogs, but that's it. So sorry for my dog lovers, which I am some days, and some days I'm not. Anyway, everybody online just turned off the podcast. You guys realize we had a person leave because of my mixed dog emotions. No. Yeah, and they told me that. And I was like, you know, I get attacked like 3 times a week at work. I will pet your dog at your house. I will tolerate your dog. If you want me to hug your dog, we have to build a relationship. I'm not a first date dog petter. It's okay. All right, anyway. So come away to this crazy place in the world where you have to sacrifice and be miserable. Or maybe, like, you know, there's another one that God calls people to sometimes, and it's like in the inner city to reach out to gangs. You know, and everyone's like, that's for some people. That's great. You know, but come away with me. So the invitation there is what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So if we're honest, we say like we want it to be wild, we want it to be great, and we say, God, use my life. I want my life to matter to some people. I'm in for whatever you want, God. But we secretly have this list of things that we're not in for, you know, and we worry about this and we think about it. Like God's going to say to you, I'm going to ruin your life by making you do something you don't want to do. So we desperately want to be a people that walk in his power, but secretly, we have reservations about where that journey will take us. I want to give you an interesting example. I have 3 things listed out, and I think they're irrational fears. This is just me, again, my opinion. The thing that people are most afraid of, does anybody know what it is? It's not COVID. It's not zombie apocalypse.
Public speaking.
Yep. Is the thing that people are most afraid of. And I just want to throw it out there. As we're talking about this, if the Lord tells you to come here, and share something, don't be afraid. This is actually a safe place. You actually know all the people in the room. Yeah. And you know that they care about you, and they're not going to, you know, even if you're wrong, they're going to say, oh, that was nice. That was nice, you tried. You know, not that you're wrong when the Lord's speaking to you. You know, and then after public speaking, another irrational fear, which is nearly second, is flying. So there's actual people, and I don't have any examples today, but there's actual people, the Lord's telling them to get on a plane and go somewhere, and they're like, no, Lord, I can't. You know, and you hear that. And then there's another irrational fear. This is from my personal life. This is not from the internet. This is my personal life, that your mailman stole your TV guide. You believe that this happens. TV guides are often late from TV Guide.
They still make them?
Yes, and people live by them, and they think that I took it. So anyway, just throwing that out there, there's irrational fears that hold you back. So there's places God wants to take each of us, people that he loves, that he would like us to be the ones to show them his love. But there's these irrational fears that hold us back. So we are the "Here I am, send me" people. We are that. We say that. We do that in worship. Some of us even get really emotional and cry and say, "I just want to be used by God. I want my life to matter in some way to others." And we were actually created to live lives that matter. We weren't created to live lives of survival. So why is there a desire to go and do, to be recklessly abandoned to whatever God has for us? But why is that coupled with an, "Oh no, please not that"? So we're going to read Matthew 28. We're going to read a little bit of scripture, and then I'll bring this together. Matthew 28, you guys are going to be into this. This is a popular Easter morning scripture. We've all read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to start, I think it's verse 1, after the Sabbath. Anybody have that as verse 1? All right. So in mine, it says 28 because I copied and pasted it out of the Bible. All right, verse 1. "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake because the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone that was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning. His robe was white as snow." Verse 4. "The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men." Verse 5. "But the angel told the women, 'Don't be afraid, because I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified.' Verse 6, "He is not here, for he has been resurrected, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then quickly go tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you.' So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, 'Good morning.' They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus told them, 'Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" Skipping ahead to verse 16. "The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We're also going to read from Acts 1, so go ahead and turn to Acts 1. I realize I'm just holding my coffee and not sipping it, so while you do that. And this is the Holy Spirit promised. I'm going to start in verse 4. "While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time?" And he said to them, that's verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So we read all that to pull out two verses. We're people who desperately desire to be used by God, to walk in his power, to see his kingdom come on earth. We have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we have two verses that are read. They're words of Jesus telling us to do it. It's Matthew 28. I'll read 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age." And the other portion of scripture, verse Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It's where you are. Let's call it your city, your county, your state, the world. Your city, your county, the country, the world. Dave can teach that better some Sunday. All right, so we have these two sections of scripture. One is saying, go and make disciples of all nations, including the one that you're part of, the one that you're in. And the other one is saying, be my witnesses where you are, the places near where you are, and everywhere. So if we're honest with ourselves, we look at Christians that are actually doing this, and we want to be like them. We look at the Christians that are out there reaching the lost, and we want to be like them, the ones doing the hard things, but their lives matter. They're leaving an impact. They're freeing child slaves, caring for orphans. We want to be as amazing as them. We want to walk out God-ordained lives with impact power, but yet we don't. We have go therefore to every nation and to the ends of the earth, but we can't figure out how to get from here to there. We're happy to write a check to those doing it and wish we were like them, but we aren't. And I feel like there's a key in the scripture we just read I'm going to share with you that's going to result in us living lives of impact where we are. But before I share that key with you, I want to talk to you guys about a normal Christian life. All right? What is a normal Christian life? Remember a few weeks ago, I said to you, as your pastor, one of the things I want most for you is for you to live out everything that the Lord put in you, everything God called you to do, for you to live that out. We talked about how our lives should stand out in a world of people that know God, that don't know God. We should be a blooming flower in a field of flower buzzes. Everybody remember this? Mm-hmm. All right. If you didn't, you might not have been here, and you can listen on the podcast. So, next month, we're going to do Acts in August. I haven't kept it a secret. I don't need to trick you guys. John in July, Acts in August. When we read in Acts, we're going to read about the normal Christian life. When we were in a different season at a church at the other space, we had a lot of younger people. All those younger people, they wanted to do the book of Acts, but they wanted to do the part where all the people that had money gave them the stuff. And I can't tell you how many discussions I had with young people that were like, just, you know, you could sell all your stuff and you could give it to us and we could reach the world. And I was like, all right, you know, that's one theory. You know, but with the book of Acts, there's so much more than they all came together and shared. You guys know we do share quite a bit. We share food. We share those things. And if you're young, you know, I will tell you, believe God, work hard, and you'll have stuff too, and it'll be fine. So anyway, but next month when we read Acts in August, we're not just reading about that. We're reading about extraordinary Christian lives, those extraordinary Christian lives that actually should be normal. You know, these guys, they didn't even... They just got the Holy Spirit, which we have, which is awesome. But they didn't have, like, a lot of the tools that we have to reach the world. You know, they didn't have... Their scripture was definitely different than our scripture, the resources they had available. They had Paul's letters one at a time when he wrote them. We have them all right now. We have the testimony of the four Gospels, the testimony of Jesus. We have 2,000 years of church, of people that have gone before us that have built the kingdom of God. There's resources, there's books, there's all this stuff that we have to help us reach the lost. We honestly, you read about these guys that could preach to thousands without a microphone. Well, we don't have to learn how to do that. We have a microphone, you know, this kind of stuff. So, you know, the normal Christian life is supposed to be extraordinary because of God. And that's what we read about in church history and Acts. I wanted to give you guys an example. I don't have the capability to show you a video yet. I'm working on it. There's a lady. I want you to look her up. Her name is Dottie Haymond. Dottie is spelled the way you think. Haymond is Haymond. M-O-N-D. Dottie Haymond. All right, so Dottie is from West Virginia. She's our neighbor to the south. Dottie had a pretty normal life as far as her life goes. And she had two sons and a husband, and she went to church. And the church that she was at, she makes it clear in her testimony. You'll find a video testimony of her that she was as afraid of God as she was the devil. That's the way she grew up in West Virginia. She says West Virginians are our local people that are, and you know, she's given a vast thing. It's not true for everybody. People in West Virginia, they're into their communities. They are born there. They stay there their whole life, and they die there. So Dottie has two sons and a husband, and she raises them, and they have a wonderful what we would call normal life. And it, when she was 29, she becomes pregnant and she miscarries a daughter that she really wanted. And when that happened, the Lord spoke to her and told her, "Don't worry, I'm going to give you a daughter." So years and years go by. Her sons are grown. She's in her 60s. Her husband passes away. You guys are feeling like, hey, maybe this promise isn't going to happen, right? Seems a little harder now, the age that she is. And so she ends up going to Africa. And long story short, she ends up in Africa and someone gives her a newborn baby girl. So she stays in Africa. She buys a house from West Virginia. Her son told her she shouldn't go. Her friends told her she shouldn't go. She buys a house and she ends up actually adopting 7 children. If she adopts one more child, she has to open an orphanage. So here she is in her 60s, living in Africa, raising kids that were unwanted and would have lived on the street without her. You know, so I mean, what's the normal Christian life supposed to be? Now, I hope you all don't move to Africa this week, and that's not what I'm trying to get you to do. So I'm gonna go. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so there is something extraordinary you were created to do. Don't be afraid of walking it out or even discovering what it is. When we read the two passages we read, the first one we read, Matthew 28, and I'm going to read verses 19 to 20 again. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." So when we read that the first time, I pointed out that we honor people that are doing that. And we want to be like them, but we don't do it. So let's look at Matthew 28 again. I'm going to read verse 7, 10, and 16. There's a thing in there before Jesus told him to go. And verse 7 says, this is the angel to the Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. As my name being Matt, I can really relate to being the other Matt. So then go quickly and tell his disciples he has raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. Verse 10, then Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They'll see me there. And then verse 16, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped. So before, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. Before that, there was go to Galilee and meet with Jesus. So this is what I'd like you guys to consider this morning. To consider as we move forward together, if we want to walk out the greater things, to make disciples, if we want to walk in the Holy Spirit, see his power, see the signs and wonders, see multitudes in this place and in this city come to the kingdom, we need to be purposeful to spend time with Jesus and to go where he is. We need to go places to meet with him and create time to be with him. We need to go out of our way to connect, meet him as individuals in the secret place, and connect just for relationship. We're not loving God to get something. We're loving God because we love God. For clarity, we aren't in the relationship for the extraordinary life. It's a byproduct. You're walking in an intimate relationship with God, the creator of the universe, with the savior of the universe, Jesus. You get up early or stay up late or steal away during your lunch break or drive to a secluded place just to focus on him or travel to a conference or come here on a Sunday morning or even a weeknight because you want to be with him. So before go ye therefore to every nation, there was go meet with Jesus. So the second portion of scripture we looked at, the Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 8 again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I want to look at verse 4. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem,
but to wait on the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me.
John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So go hang out with Jesus and get baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's a one-time event. And after that, you practice his presence. You want to be in his presence. Being in the presence of God, making time, making room, and making it a priority is the most important thing. It's more important than anything you do or anything you accomplish, that spending time with God. Sons and daughters, not slaves and servants. Being a lover is more important than being a worker. All right, so that was my introduction. I want to talk to you guys today about the secret place. I know it sounds mystical and woo. So when we sing come away with me, we're not necessarily singing about going to India or Africa. Oh. This week I was listening to a book, and one of the testimonies in the book, he's a young guy, maybe in his 30s, and he's just a single guy, and he was living life in America, building a dream, buying a house, and he ended up like selling everything he owned, going to India, and actually buying people out of slavery. And building a place for them. Like, he would literally go into stone mines where kids were working and negotiate for their freedom and then provide a place for them. And, you know, there's another guy I met a couple years ago. I was in Texas, and I was with Joan Hunter Ministries, and we were in a class. And the guy, he's a single guy, lives in Haiti, and has, like, 20, 30 kids living with him. You know, so it's just that there's this thing of just being a father to the fatherless. So anyway, sons and daughters, not slaves and servants. We're talking about the secret place. When we sing come away, we aren't talking about an adventure in a distant land. We're talking about a space for you to connect with God. We say space because it isn't connected to a physical place. There's a Hebrew word, you guys can look it up in Strong's Concordance. It's number 5643. And it's called, the word is sefer. Sefer. Strong's is just, it's an index to the Bible. It takes every word in the King James and shows you all the places in the Bible that it was and all the ways that it was translated. A guy lived in the 1800s. He made this index of the Bible, and all of a sudden it was super easy to translate the King James into every language. So he made this thing that, you know, all of a sudden they were making like Russian Bibles and all kinds of stuff. And it's pretty awesome to see his life do that. So sefer, Strong's 5643, is a covering, shelter, hiding place, secrecy. Covering, cover, hiding place, shelter, secret place, secrecy, shelter, and protection. I have some examples of this word that means secret place in Scripture. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not changing the words to say secret place. It actually says secret place. So Psalm 27:5, if you just want to write them down, if you guys try to turn to these, I will make you crazy. Actually, maybe not. Go ahead, go for it. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me, excuse me, high upon a rock. Turn a couple pages to Psalms 31, verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So it's talking about God hiding you in a secret place from when people are talking bad about you, from when people are plotting against you. Psalm 32, verse 7, a couple pages forward. You are my hiding place. That's that word, sefer. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. We love that verse. Psalm 61, verse 4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust you in the shelter. That's that word, sefer, secret place of your wings. We love that verse as well. Psalm 81, 7. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you in the waters of Meribah. Selah. Psalm 91.1. You guys know Psalm 91. He who dwells in the
secret place
of the Most High
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Psalm 119,
verses 114.
You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Song of Solomon's 2:14.
Oh, my doves in the cleft of the rock. Now, you guys know Song of Solomon. It's really about God and us, right? Okay.
All right.
Oh, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. So it gives you this picture of the Lord seeing you in the secret place. Isaiah 28:17.
Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies.
Sorry, I get excited about that verse.
The hail is going to sweep away the refuge of lies.
And the waters will overflow in the secret place.
So we're talking about creating a space for us to spend time with the Lord as individuals.
There's not a formula. There's not a prescription. There's no magic words that I can give you to say. There's no prayer I can tell you to pray.
But there's a couple of ideas that I can give you to get you started. And so there's five of them for all my copious note takers. Number one,
set aside time and space.
We used to tell, Kathy and I, when we used to be youth pastors, we used to tell the youth all the time, we used to say,
if you don't decide the day before when you're spending time with God or reading the Bible or that kind of stuff, you're not going to do it. And you can see that as a culture. If I say to you, hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow, but we don't set that time, I'm probably not going to call. I would never tell you I was going to call and not call. But somebody might do that to you. Or, hey, let's do that tomorrow. If we don't decide when we're doing it tomorrow, we're not going to do it.
So we set aside time and space.
So how much time? Start with what you have. Go deep with what you have and let your heart grow to expand. I'm not talking about spending the whole day. I'm not talking about hours upon hours. I'm not talking about setting aside large amounts of time to try to earn something from God. But I am talking about setting aside time to be with God. Keep in mind that the Lord fills however many vessels you give him. So if you can set aside a block of time. All right, number two. Start with worship and with his word. Don't start with your feelings. Start with him. How many times do we go to God when we're in a situation where we're being squeezed or things aren't going our way and we're just like, I feel terrible. This is horrible. All right, that's my pathetic voice that I made that up. But let's look at human relationships. When we meet each other, right, how many people love talking to someone that when you say, hey, how's it going, they talk about themselves the whole time? Do you love those conversations where you wanted to say something to them, you wanted to share about something? All right, so we're talking about we're going to meet with God, we're going to start with worship, we're going to start with his word, we're not going to start with how we feel, we're going to start with his feelings, we're going to declare who he is, we're going to thank him for who he is and what he has done, and let the truth of God's word change our heart and our mind. The third thing you can do is you can adore him. It's personal, it's private. You pour out your love on him.
Tell him how beautiful he is, worship him more. Use your words, he loves your voice. You guys have all heard me say this before. My coworker that used to work with me, her name is Pam. She is a beautiful, mighty woman, and her voice is very much bassy. And then one day I met her husband. He is a beautiful, mighty man. And he's like, hey, Matt, how's it going?
And this is them. This is their voices. And it's like when they tell each other that they love each other, do they want to hear their real voice?
Absolutely. All right. Let the truth of God's word, that's the wrong line, draw near to him and tell him that you desire to draw near. Invite him afresh to touch your life. The fourth thing that you can do
is be still. Stop talking, be still, face to face, heart to heart, union. Those of us that are blessed to be married or be in love, you know those times where you don't need your list of talking points because you're just together? You know, even with my sons, sometimes it's like that. We're just together. We're not talking. And, you know, you have friends like that. You have friends like that. We call them our low-maintenance friends. You just can be with them, and it's not a thing. And this is how it should be with God. You get together. You just like being together. And the fifth, what are we calling these? We're calling these principles. The fifth thing, principles for setting aside time to spend with God, is repeat. So the Lord's inviting us to create a secret place in our lives to meet with Him, to steal away, to make time to connect. All right, let's talk about date night. Y'all know what date night is? Mm-hmm. Something that married couples without kids can do. Mm-hmm. It's really important to them. You know, I have a friend who's writing a book called Man Axioms, and it's things that men do, and in his book he says that, I'm paraphrasing, he says that men love their wives and purpose to spend time alone with them, and he said a guideline for this is 2 hours a week, a date, without kids. So 2 hours every 7 days is a date. You do talk to each other the rest of the week, don't worry. And then every second week, you spend 2 nights away. And every 7 years, you go away and do something incredible together for 7 days. And I mean, it's not my reality right now, the age that my kids are, but it does make me want to be purposeful to connect with my wife. You guys know, if we're not purposeful about that connection, what happens? You drift apart. So anyway, date night. Sorry for making fun of date night. If any young married people without kids get to go on date night every week, that's awesome. All right. So there's an invitation to spend time in the presence of God, and it comes with promises. So I wanted to read Psalm 91 as we start to wrap this up. You guys are familiar with this. We read this verse already. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So the person who dwells there, not the person who goes there once a year, not the person who interacts, it's the person that dwells there in the secret place of the Most High. He shall abide. Abide again is not a one-time thing, it's an always thing. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So here we have this person. The psalmist is saying a person goes to the secret place of the Most High God. This is what I'm inviting you to create in your life today. And then verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. So here we have a person dwelling, and they're saying, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. This is a place I go for refuge. This is a place I go to be protected. This is a place I go to be with God, and it's God who I trust in. And then here comes the promises, verse 3. Surely I will say of the... Oh, that's verse 2. Sorry. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He's going to deliver you from anyone or the enemy that sets a trap for you, and from the perilous pestilence. Perilous pestilence. I'm not going to expand on that. If you dwell with the Most High God, He delivers you from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wing shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So when you dwell with God, when you get with God, when you get in His presence, see, we talked about this a few weeks ago. There's all these lies that we believe that hold us back. When we spend time with God, His truth rearranges the way we think, and we don't believe those lies anymore. Verse 5, another promise for the man who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. They won't be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This is a verse we often quote. This is a verse that we believe, but remember, it's connected with the man who dwells in the secret place. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. That means when wicked people around you are reaping the fruit of their wickedness, you're only going to see that. You're not going to reap it. We talk about this. We talk about a nation making poor decisions. We want that to change. We'll pray about it. We'll do action. We'll vote. We'll talk to people to try to help them see that. We're believing God to do something amazing in our nation. But here's the deal. We're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. If they're reaping the reward of their wickedness, we're not going to. We're separate. Sure, things will happen around us. But only with your eyes will you see it. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, that's that word again, even the Most High, your dwelling place, that's that word again, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come to your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. In their hands shall they bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. You won't need a dog in your mud hut. The young lion and the serpent shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Because he's purposeful to dwell in that place where he sets his love upon God, the Lord brings deliverance. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, this is one I'd like you to use your imagination. I want you to think about this. What does it look like for your life to be set on high? As you're interacting with the Lord, as you're that man who dwells in the secret place, what's that look like for you? I mean, I know it's not poverty and lack. I know it's not struggling. The Lord sets you on high because you know his name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So as we're talking about the secret place and we're talking about how to do that and how to move in our lives, and the reason we want to do it is just to be with God, there's actually all these things that come as a byproduct. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and we're not going to read it, when you pray, what did he say? Go into your closet and shut the door. You know, that's Greek, not Hebrew. So it can't say it's the same word, but it means the same thing. Yeah. So Father, I'm just going to pray for you guys. And what I'd like you to do is if this challenged you in your heart, just decide tomorrow when you're going to start or today. So, Father, help us to be a people that come running into your presence, Lord, people that are always looking to hang out with you, to be with your presence. Lord, help us to find the time to make the space to learn and grow how to be a lover of God. Lord, we're not afraid to know the things that you have called us into. We're not afraid to walk them out. But, Lord, we want to come from that strength of relationship with you. And we thank you, Father, for what you want to do in every life here. We thank you that you come meet with us when we set aside time to meet with you. And we give you all the glory for what you can do through us and in us and around us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well.